Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, as I share now with what you put on my heart for your people, Father, I pray that they take this to heart and it becomes a part of their life. They bond to it in its understanding so they can have a successful year with you. Amen. Colossians chapter 3 is a very interesting chapter because many places in here it talks about being co-raised with Christ. And our life is now hid in Him. And how we actually serve in heavenly places in Him. That's why I finally understood Ephesians there, chapter 5, where it said that He is going to present Himself a glorious church without having spot or wrinkle. How many of you remember I broke the revelation of that verse? Most of us are taught that that's referring to the end time of all things when He will present to Himself a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle. But the entire book of 1 John is all, or the book of Ephesians is all about the church. And Paul had to establish an understanding of a church, the universal church and the local church. And he brought out that the church has been seated at the right hand of the Father that he might present to himself a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle. In other words, as he's seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus himself has now presented himself a church that will move into a position where it will, so to speak, remove all the wrinkles and remove all the stains so that he can get the work done that is necessary in the earth. That makes more sense to me. Why would he call the church together and not do something with it until the end and then call it a glorious church? No, he's talking about presenting himself a glorious church while he's seated at the right hand of the Father with us there with him. So he has a glorious church now. Hallelujah. And he has the capabilities of removing all the wrinkles and spots in it if we just want to join him as he's seated at the right hand of the Father for that glorious place in Him. But coming down to your own personal life, what the Lord moved on me now in these 9 points is something that not only you must take heed to, but also those that look at your life and follow it as an example. This is a year when we're going to have the greatest opportunity to be the example we can be to the people where we work with, to the people that we work with, and to those that are friends and relatives and all the aspects of life that your life comes into contact with. This is going to be a year that God wants your testimony to greatly shine. And when you purpose in your heart that your testimony is going to shine, people, you'll not only do a wonders to others, but you'll do a wonder to yourself as well. I'm seeing people that has come into the kingdom of God and has never changed their lifestyle, has never changed the way they think. They've only added God to them, providing God as their advantage. But when God was no longer their advantage, then they've abandoned Him and His principles. These are self-centered people that don't know how to make change for the sake of humanity. It's easy for me to make change from my own personal view. But you know what? God loves it when you make change, not only for your own personal viewpoint of life, but those that look at you and focus on you. Our children and our relatives and our family, our grandchildren, all of them are important to us, every one of them. And how that's becoming a strong reality in my life. All right, these 9 points. Number one, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "And have put on the new man." Now, I'm going to read it to you out of the Greek language to understand the importance of how we need to interpret these verses correctly. Notice this. "And have put on the new man, who is being renewed." Who is being renewed. "In knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." And the word knowledge here is epinosa, means a knowledge that is above natural knowledge. It's a higher understanding from this plane. It's a knowledge that goes beyond this plane. How many understand what I'm talking about? And notice, who is being renewed, transformed, or changed on the inside. And with that thought in mind, go to Ephesians chapter 4. It's back a few pages. Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, let's go to verse 22. That you put off you. I like that in the Greek there. It puts that word you in there. Our translators didn't put it in there. But that you put off you concerning your former conduct or manner of life. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness of truth. Holiness of truth. And so the first thing that we have to begin to really get a consciousness of is the fact that we have to put on truth. And the only way you can put on truth is to put on the new man which was created in Christ Jesus. A different you according to Romans chapter 7. So that you may bear fruit unto God. Hallelujah. The one that was risen from the dead out of that former physical life of yours. Point number two, get an understanding how your mind is affected by being directly linked to the Word of God. How your mind is affected by being directly linked to the Word of God. Many times you've heard me preach out of Romans chapter 8, verse 7. That the carnal mind is in rebellion against God. It is not subject to the law of God, and neither can be. That's why your outer mind cannot be renewed. It has to be purged. It has to lose its position of authority over you. It's imperative that we understand that if we're going to allow ourselves to be affected by the Word of God, we have to challenge the carnal mind every time we hear the Word of God preached. And how many of you know when you hear the Word of God preached, your natural mind does not agree to it. It is not even submitted to it. And there's where the turmoil begins. And the conscience of the believer is ruined because they'll pay more attention to the natural mind than they will the spiritual mind. We're starting a new, fresh year. This is a year we need to determine within ourselves. We're not going to let our old self-image, our own way of thinking, control what we have to move into and put on. If it's the new man in Christ, we got to put him on and put the other one off. Hallelujah. And how you determine that is by your fruit. Not by what somebody else has preached. Not by what somebody else threatened you with. Not by somebody's judgment that came on you. But to take a look at your personal life and take a look at your own fruit. And you will know where you're at in him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And number three. Do not allow handicapped thinking to become permanent barriers. How many of us have allowed that to happen? Because of past experience in our life, and it's neutralized us in many areas. Stop allowing that stuff to even remain. Because everything about God in you, in thinking, He has made a way for you to escape it. It's called a faith that this natural world doesn't understand. Hallelujah. So do not allow handicapped thinking to become permanent barriers. If you have some thoughts that always neutralize you, deal with them thoughts. Get out the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say about it. You know, God's thoughts towards you are good thoughts. They're thoughts, not thoughts of evil, but they are thoughts to encourage you and lift you up and to promote hope in you and to move forward. Hallelujah. Praise God. Point number four, your former self-image must die in order for his image to be formed in us. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You have to look on the inside of you what God has made you and not look after the outer man all the time, because your outer man is not truth. That's the guy you got to put off. See, we're going in one direction here. We're not going in very direct. We're going one direction here. And so you do have to put off your self-image. I'm talking about the self-image that was created when you were first born into this world. And it took some years to form that image in you. It's going to take some time to get it formed out of you. Thank God we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. We inherited the Holy Ghost. We have the mind of Christ. Because of the event of the new birth, we have the process of understanding the mind of God because we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. We got to put off that old way of thinking and put on the new one. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says we're to reach in within ourselves and see the image of Christ in us. And then that's what changes us. It's not changing by what we're always faced with here, our mistakes and the stupid things we've done. How many of you know that you can wake up to a stupid day? How many of you ever woke up to a stupid day? I call stupid because you can't fix stupid. But every one of us wake up to stupid days. It's just there, stupid. But guess what? That don't mean the next day has to be a stupid day. Amen? We can, out of stupid, we can still plan to make the next day a success. Boy, I look back on the things I have done in the past, and I can truthfully say, stupid. Another thing, don't wait for something to change before you do something. You know what that's called? Wait is what breaks the bridge. Don't say, well, I got to do this in order to do this. And I got to do this before I can do this. And I got to do this before. Do this never gets nothing done. I got to do this never gets nothing done. Today is the day that you make the decision to do it, not tomorrow. Amen? Point number five. Realize that when you put your mind into the Word of God, you're putting your failures in proper perspective. Do you want me to say that again? You see, a lot of people make this mistake because of the way they live. But I want you to catch this. Realize that when you put your mind into the Word of God, you are putting your failures in proper perspective. Did you get that? You see, a lot of us, when we hold on to point number four, we can't enjoy point number five because we'll cling to the outward mind rather than the inward transformation. And the Word of God deals with inward change, not outward reactionary living, but inward change. I'm going to tell you something. Does your carnal mind know God? Does your carnal mind know about God? Yes, there's a difference of knowing about somebody and then knowing that person. Many believers know about God, but many believers don't know God. See, there's where the carnal mind gains its power. It will tell you what to do when you wake up and what to do when you go to sleep. And in between, everything is stupid. Can't get away from stupid. And that's why my heart goes out to many believers because they want to do many things in God, but they're too controlled by stupid. And you don't have to be controlled by that. You can be controlled by the Word of God. So I like this when God spoke this to me. When your mind goes into the Word of God, you are putting your failures in proper perspective. And how many of us recognize that? Are you guys ready to go home? Why are you so quiet? Paying attention, right? Yeah, I'll tell you. You know, God's Word is here. And stupid is here. And boy, when God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, you know how far He separated them? One is in heaven and one is on the earth. That's a bad separation. Stupid's a good name for the carnal mind. Okay. Point number six. Oh, this is the easiest part of all. Real easy. Take action to deliberately change your behavior providing step one is complete, putting off the old man. See how progressive this thing goes? Take action to deliberately change your behavior. You see, if you want to really succeed in life, the key is behavior. It really is. Because behavior is attitude. Behavior has attitude to it. And if you have the wrong attitude, nobody can penetrate you. But if you have the right attitude, then guess what? You can become humble and receive a lot from people. But I'll tell you what, if your behavior pattern is not doing you good from 1 year to the next, I mean, if you can look back last year and see where things have literally died in your life, then that is the opportunity to change your behavior pattern, because it's your behavior that puts you there. Yeah, I'm preaching real good, whether you like it or not. Behavior, it plays a major key on everything that you become associated with. How many of you have been around stinky behaviors? I'm not talking about your behavior. I'm talking about somebody else's behavior called stinky behaviors. How many of you know that some of these stinky behaviors, you have to walk on eggshells around them? Why? Because if you crunch one of them eggshells, stinky behavior is going to let you know about it. And these kind of people will never get anywhere in life, because they're undoing their own life and they don't change their behavior. You know, the worst behavior to pick up is self-centeredness. That's where you are so self-centered on yourself that your whole mindset is how to defend yourself against life. And you cannot live that way. In the end, you'll find yourself sitting there all by yourself because you were so self-centered, you get the opportunity to be alone with self. You know what? People with stinky behaviors, you know what I hate to hear come out of their mouth? Why is all this always happening to me? It's everybody else's fault. It's not mine. God's failing me. Everyone's letting me down. I'm a failure because of stinky people. Those kind of people, when you walk by them, plug your nose. They do it to themselves. And if you try to speak that back into their life, you try to tell them the truth, that you're against me. You don't like me. I like you as a soul, as a person, but I don't like your stinky behavior. You know what will promote you with people? A good behavior. You know, Jacob. Was it Jacob? Jacob's ladder and all that? It was Jacob. Me and the Old Testament, we got to reconnect. I was reading about Jacob. You know, if anybody had a stinky behavior, it should have been Jacob. But that guy stayed true to God through the whole thing and found God's purpose for his life. Isn't that amazing? He could have went to the king and said, "Hey, listen, that woman did this to me. Why are you sticking me down there in a hole for 7 years? He went down in the hole. He didn't say, "God abandoned me. Everybody abandoned me." No, he went down in the hole and he found where God could work there. Because he had his heart set on the Lord. I'll tell you, when you set your heart on the Lord, I don't care what comes your way, Your behavior will change when you run around with Jesus. Your behavior will change. Just recently, the Lord showed me, because I was getting this fresh revelation of the church and how He wants to build the church. And when I started seeing this pattern, I began to see how the present church is way out of whack concerning the universal church that was established by the 12 apostles. Do you know how easy it is for a pastor to get a hold of this insight, rise up and judge every other church? You know how easy that would be? And God, I said, "God, why are you showing me this?" He says, "Because I know that you'll take the light to lead others, you won't take it to judge others. Are you following what I'm saying? God wants us to lead people to the truth, not judge them when they don't meet that aspect of the church. Amen? And so God has some great things for the universal church. But I got news for you. Your attitude and your behavior means a lot concerning having revelation or insight to the Word of God. If you get revelation, special enlightenment or something, to use it to judge somebody, then it's more than likely you didn't get this special revelation from God. You got it on your own head knowledge. But when God starts lighting up your life and lighting you up, He lights you up through His nature called love. And He wants to include everybody in on the light. For we all walk that way. And not use it to judge people. Amen. How many of you are adults? Can I see your hands? Guess what? How many of you don't know what you are? If we're at the age of accountability, we know how to choose things. We don't need somebody to put fear in us to make our minds change. That doesn't help anybody. People have to be motivated from within the heart of the Father to take action, to deliberately do things and do it right. Behavior is a major part of your walk with people and with life. If you can change your behavior into a godly behavior, you'll succeed with people. They'll want to be around you. If you walk down the street and you find everybody going the opposite direction, that's the first sign something's wrong. Praise God. Point number 7. This is a big one. And we'll go through these real quick like. This one will really help you. It's helping me. Choose a creative challenge. Choose a creative challenge. Something to better your present situation. Choose a creative challenge. Somebody said, well, I don't have any creative challenges. I said, well, you got kids, don't you?
Well, yeah.
There's where you can start. Now, all the young adults and kids that are in this room right now, you guys are okay. Had to save face there, John. But choose a creative challenge for your life. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a ministry God thing. It could be anything that you purpose in your life to better yourself with. Choose that creative challenge and meet it and succeed in it, and your whole life will change. It'll be for the better. I've seen people with negative impulses in their life, and they did something about it, and they were just as different as night and day. Hallelujah. And so you've got to face some challenges in your life and why I'm saying choose a creative challenge, because every one of us have something that is so negative in our life that we need to do something about that negativity and meet it head on and change it. Had to loosen my neck up on that one. Try to do something to better where you're at. Whether it's spiritually or naturally, choose something. You know, I can remember in the Old Testament. I got to watch it when I go in there. Wasn't it one of the wars where there was three guys outside the wall that had leprosy or something, and they decided to go down to the enemy's camp or something, and their movement down there, and they thought that the whole army had come at them and stuff, and they all scattered. Now, that's movement. And they wasn't necessarily, they were just going down there to check it out and get something to eat, I think. And their movement created a victory for the walled city. Amen? So that's what I'm trying to get across to you. People, the best thing to do is do something to make something change. Amen. I mean, if you're tired of looking at your worn out shoes all the time, Buy new ones. Well, I don't have any money. You got a credit card? No, good for you. You got a debit card? You get a new pair of shoes. But make sure you got money in the bank, though. But that might be a challenge you need to choose. Put money in the bank with all your spending. Okay, point number 8. Stop being so easily offended. Become confident with criticism. My gosh, people, I don't know how many times I wanted to quit ministry because one little old podunk negative person in my body come up and say, blah, 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 you. I want to quit ministry. I want to leave. They're always persecuting me, God. One person, the whole church is persecuting me. People will, listen, when it comes to being offended by somebody, this is a thought you must think of, okay? This is more than likely the thought that you need to think. Someone else's criticism may be a reflection of what is in their heart towards their own conscience and unwilling to receive it for themselves. Did you get that? All right, somebody said, no, no. Okay, I'll read it again. If you become confident with criticism, it's because you've overcome you've adhered to this thought. Someone else's criticism may be a reflection of what's in their heart towards their own conscience and unwilling to receive it for themselves. You know, a lot of times we're not willing to receive what we need to receive from our own conscience. Hey, Jerry, conscience, is it on that New Testament word, conscience? Yeah, it is, yeah. He's going to do a class on it. Some people, John and I, when we heard Jerry was going to teach on that, John and I looked at each other, conscience? What's a conscience? Because a lot of believers don't follow their God-given conscience. And they need to. They've dulled it, you know. And okay, I will do that. You got it? You ready, Cord? Okay. When you're easily offended, become confident with criticism because it's someone else's criticism may be a reflection of what's in their heart towards their own conscience and unwilling to receive it for themselves. You see, when people are unwilling to receive a change within themselves, they'll put that change on everybody else. You'll find that a lot of times. I'll never forget this one guy. I'd always go into the coffee shop. He was the meanest thing. And of course, you could tell he wasn't well or anything. And finally, one day, I looked at him and I said, do you always frown? Is there a smile anywhere on your face? And he looked at me and said, well, what made you say that? And I said, well, you don't look like you've been in a happy-go-lucky meeting of some kind. You look like you've been sucking lemons. Some people, you look at them and you begin to wonder that, man, is there anything going on in them that they like about themselves? You know? And the funny was, this guy was always critical about everything in that coffee shop. To finally, one of the ladies said, why don't you change coffee shops? I mean, it's like he has to go to a coffee shop he doesn't like so he can torment it. You know? I meant, something is wrong in his heart that way. And I looked at him and said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And come to find out, he finally opened up to me. He was sleeping in his own car. His wife and family left him. He had some kind of real critical thing in his leg and everything. And so that Easter, I went into the coffee shop to get my coffee, and he was sitting in there. And, well, it wasn't Easter. It was the day before Easter. And he said, what are you going to preach on? And I said, I'm going to preach on hope. And he said, well, that's an interesting thing. Well, you could tell his whole life was without hope. You know, and his own conscience was always convicting him. And sad to say, I didn't preach the gospel to him, and I should have, and the Lord told me to do it. They found him dead in his car. So not long after that. And so I always kind of regretted not preaching salvation, but maybe he knew the Lord. I don't know. But he was the one that you could tell he had a lot of self-consciousness that was destroying him. And so some people don't know how to judge their own conscience. They don't know how to deal with it. And so what they do is they turn on everybody else and judge them. Amen. I've noticed that when my own conscience is condemning me, it's easier for me to condemn somebody else. How many of you ever noticed that about you? Come on now. Let's hear it. Yeah, I know some of you are superhuman. You should be up here, but that's... I do find myself doing that. The last point, very important one. Please pay attention to this. This is an important one. Purpose not to live a negative lifestyle. Purpose not to live a negative lifestyle. Listen, it's prone into all of us to be negative about everything. Purpose not to live a negative lifestyle. Let me share something with you. Our faith is not designed for that lifestyle. Our faith is not designed for that kind of lifestyle. You know what? If you live a negative lifestyle, you'll draw negative people into your life. Why? Because they'll compliment your lifestyle. You've got a purpose not to be negative. My son Tim, I really admire him. He can sometimes have a lot of things come against him, but there's always something in my son that would draw out something positive about everything. I like that kind of thing. You know what, people? When you were born into this world, you go back and look at your birth certificate, providing you haven't lost it, and it does not say, born into this world with fairness to life. There's nothing on your birth certificate that says that. It just got a little footprint there. And that's a sign that everybody will walk on you in life. That's what you're guaranteed. Because over there in Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 and 3, it talks about how our faith is not made up of things that appear. You know, a negative lifestyle are people that go by appearance rather than truth. They're actually faith in reverse.
I know what's going to happen here now.
Well, what's going to happen?
And because they did this, this is going to happen.
Our faith is not established on what appears. Our faith is established on what we change. The Lord spoke this to me. And He said, we can live good common sense. But our God-given faith is not determined by it. Natural life is too unpredictable. But to be led by the Spirit is predictableness. You see, you can do the right thing. I've known people all their life that have been health fanatics. And I've never seen one of them with a good tone to their skin. They're just gray in matter. But they're eating all these pills.
Man, I take one for my little toe. I take one for my upper toe. And I take one for my pinky on my hand. And then you show up one day and they're dead.
What happened? They died. That doesn't mean you can't take vitamins. You can't, but to be consumed by it? I mean, listen, century one is not my lifestyle. It doesn't tell me I can live forever. The Word of God is my lifestyle. Amen? And so these people that are always caught up in, well, it's going to happen because they did this. Except one of us have been perfect in everything we've done. I mean, if you make a mistake, that's all you have to do. Don't sit there and die of heart arteries because you worried yourself to death. That's a slow death. Make it quick. Hallelujah. So purpose not to live a negative lifestyle.
You know,
I got to watch what I say. For an example.
You know what? He never puts a coat on when he goes out. He's going to catch pneumonia. And watch that. He doesn't know what it means to put a coat on. He's going to get pneumonia.
turn to a negative person like that and say, what time and date? Because they got it all planned out. Of course, you're stupid for going out without a coat, but anyway. You got to use common sense, right? But common sense is not your whole lifestyle. It's part of it. But the Word of God can still bail you out of stupid. Our faith will bail us out of stupid. Amen. So, a new name for the carnal mind. Stupid. Do you guys all get something here? We're going to do these things to change our year. We're going to do these things to change our year. We're going to do these things to change our year. Hey, Dave, we're seating you over there in Afghanistan for you to pray all that war to stop. Amen. Amen. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Father, I thank you for the Word of God, and I thank you for your wonderful people. This is a new year coming up, Father. A very important year for all of us. And Father, as we now get ready to dismiss, there's one thing I want to do, Father. If there be anybody here that would like to change their entire lifestyle by receiving Jesus as a personal Savior, we want to do everything we can to give them what they need to follow through with changing their citizenship from this world to that which is in heaven. And so this morning, if you have never given your heart and life to Jesus, and you want to, we want to give you that opportunity here this morning. But if you're here and you've given your heart and life to Jesus, but you haven't been able to overcome a defeated lifestyle, would like to renew and refresh your walk with the Lord, then we want to also open the altar up for you to come forward and let us pray with you and bring you back into that place of full fellowship where you can walk in victory again. And if you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in that heavenly language that belongs to the church, then we want to lay hands on you and let God fill you with the Holy Spirit. And if you need physical healing, God's not short of that. He will see to it that you can receive your healing if you believe Him and believe for that through the elders laying hands on you. And so with that said, right now, if any of you fit that altar call, please feel free to come up here right now. Don't hesitate. It's not a pride thing. It's a humbling thing to come forward and receive what God has to offer for you. Anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? Salvation, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, physical healing, hallelujah, restoration, hallelujah. And don't feel ashamed just because you've come forward. Don't do that. We're doing God's business right now. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Okay. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people that have come forward for prayer. And Father, we now dismiss the rest of them and we set them on a world that needs them in Jesus' name. Adios, amigos. God bless you. May the Seahawks win.